Father God, thank you for your words this morning. We pray that as we journey through now, that you will speak to us in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit down. Some things are hard to believe, but they are true. Honey, for example, never goes out of date. You could eat honey that is 5,000 years old, and it would still be safe. Hard to believe, but it's true. Cows will produce 3% more milk if they're listening to music. Who knew that? It's hard to believe, but true. A supersonic jet once broke the sound barrier over a field of turkeys. The sonic boom gave the turkeys a heart attack and they all died. That's really hard to believe, but it's true. There are a lot of things that we hear and see that are hard to believe. There are things that we experience, things that we learn, that are hard to accept, but they're still the truth. The disciples in John's passage were struggling to accept. They had just seen Jesus walk on water, but they had accepted that. They'd seen him feed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves, and they'd accepted that. And they'd accepted it because they'd seen it, because they'd experienced it. But Jesus' words, just his words, that was a hard teaching. Who can accept it? They asked. They were being told by Jesus that he was the sustenance they needed. He was all that they needed. The manna, the bread sent from heaven. I am the bread of life. It's not that they didn't understand it, because they never questioned what he was saying. They really did get it, but they didn't want to hear it. The truth was too much for them. And what Jesus had said was unacceptable. They had to eat his flesh and drink his blood to remain in him. Okay, not literally, but metaphorically. And with that, some disciples just upped and walked away. It was too much, and they turned their back. The crowd that had formed around Jesus had formed initially because he had fed them, all 5,000 plus people. They could accept what he'd given them physically, but when it came to a deeper sense of belief, when it came to a deeper faith, they couldn't accept what he was giving them spiritually. Jesus knew what he said challenged people. He even asked if what he had said had offended them. But the truth, and my experience, and possibly yours too, is that following Jesus is challenging. It was then for his disciples, and it is for us now. His words in the Bible can challenge us, and they do confuse us sometimes. Well, they certainly confuse me. We can find them hard, and we can struggle to understand. And not only can we struggle to understand his teaching, but we can be really challenged when it comes to following it. I was looking recently at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and his teachings there, and I can see what challenges me. For example, I find resisting murder is not particularly a problem for me, although it might be for one of you. But ask me not to feel anxious about my life and to rely solely on God? Well, I find that a challenge. I personally find resisting adultery is not a challenge for me, and quite seriously, it might be a challenge for someone here. But loving people who have hurt me, or worse still, hurt my family, now that I find hard. I'm less challenged with feelings of retaliation, but always putting God ahead of money and idols I can find that hard, if I'm honest. Jesus' teaching is meant to challenge us. As followers of Christ, we are meant to be distinctive, to work hard to be different, and to work hard to mirror Jesus to others. It's not easy. Trying to combat these challenges alone is the flesh side of us. But there's another element in there too. There's the spirit. And Jesus says it himself. The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Trying to follow Jesus' teaching in our own human strength is too hard. Belief is our anchor. Faith is our anchor. Trust and hope. Because simply as flesh, as humans, Jesus' teaching just feels or can feel unachievable. The 12 who stuck by his side, the ones he had chosen, believed. They knew who Jesus was, and they knew he was the one that would bring eternal life. Their belief was strong, and their faith was deep. As followers of Jesus, as chosen people, the spirit that lived in those disciples lives in us too. We are given life through the Spirit, a holy gift, and we're given tools to follow Christ along with it. Are there times, though, when we want to be one of those disciples who turns their back and walks away? I wonder if it can feel like Jesus requires more of you than you're willing either maybe than you're willing to give or maybe feel you're able to give. Paul experienced this immense weight on his shoulders in Ephesus when he traveled there. He spent a long time there, more than 2 years preaching in the temple, and only left after upsetting all the local businessmen. They were selling shrines of the local goddess, and because Paul's word was taking hold, their business and their profit came down, and it created a riot. The outcome of that was Paul swiftly moved on to Macedonia. He preached the gospel in the face of adversity for 2 years in Ephesus, and it didn't get any easier when he left. His firm faith anchored him and drove him forward. Through great hardships, even being thrown in prison, his faith and his hope was unscathed. How did he do it? I am pretty much in awe of him. Paul knew the extent at which hardship could fight against us. And he was aware of the spiritual warfare that went on to try and destroy all the good stuff that he'd done, all the work that he'd achieved. And he wrote to the Ephesians to help them and encourage them. He didn't want them to be those disciples that turned their backs and walked away. He wanted them to realize that the fight was worth it, and that with the Spirit in them, they could keep driving forward, being strong and mighty, just as we can too. Life can sometimes feel like it's coming at you, arrows flying from all different angles, like you're being got at in every direction. Sometimes it can feel like just a single shot. And other times, it can feel like somebody has picked up a hand grenade and just thrown it into the middle of your life. On our holiday recently, so much happened that was overwhelming. That one day, I woke up in the morning and I lay in bed and I stared at the ceiling. And I literally had no thought in my head at all. It was blank. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it's really strange. There was stuff coming at us from every angle, and it was exhausting. None of it was huge. Everyone was okay. But it was relentless. One of those, if it could go wrong, then it would go wrong moments in our lives. What I wanted to do was to stand up in front of the family dramatically and announce, "I've had enough now and we're all going home." I would never have done that. If I had possibly destroyed their tanning time, I would have been never forgiven. But that nothing in my head morning, Toby and I went for breakfast, and we took a deep breath and we regrouped. And we came out fighting the other side. It is amazing what a full English breakfast can do for you. Nothing was going to ruin our family time together. Nothing. It was just way too important to us. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he talks about taking up the armour of God, his complete armour, so that when things are tough, you'll be standing firm at the end. The breastplate of justice, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the shoes of peace, all there to defend us and protect us. Sometimes it can feel, though, that rather than having these individual bits of armour, I would personally like just one of those full-body armour suits that nothing can get in. All manner of things can feel like our faith, our belief, our family, our resilience, our strength are being threatened. Maybe it's the loss of someone close to you, a deep depression that you might fall into, trouble with your family or ill health. Maybe you have unanswered questions, or even harder, maybe unanswered prayer. Maybe life is just a little overwhelming, or maybe it's a lot overwhelming. Possibly you're being ridiculed about your faith, or you've got problems and people causing you problems at work. Or maybe you have just run out of good old-fashioned Christian energy and enthusiasm, and it pulls you down. But I wonder what it is that pulls you back. Why are you still sitting here? Why haven't you got up and turned your back and walked away? Is it something you've read in the Bible? Or the prayer of a good friend? Is it someone around you who's looked out for you? Or is it just simply that actually your routine is, well, I come to church, that's what I do? Or is it that somewhere deep inside you is a niggling faith that you just can't deny? Or the unescapable knowledge that despite anything and everything, you are loved by God? What keeps you sitting here now? There are times when it can feel too much, this being a Christian, the follower of Christ. And I urge you in those times to dig deep, to look out for that Spirit who lives in you, to pick up your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and to stand tall and stand firm. And as Paul writes, be strong in the Lord and the strength in His power. Reach out to the people around you and share the challenges that you have in your life or in your faith. Ask to be prayed for by our prayer ministry team at the back. Ask your friends around you to pray, or maybe just simply to listen. Read your Bibles, the Word of God, and find comfort and reassurance in there. Gather up the armour of God and put it on. Each bit, one at a time, every single day. Your breastplate, the helmet, your belt, your shoes, your shield, and pick up your sword. By becoming a Christian, we were never guaranteed an easy ride. We were never told it was going to be easy, but we were told that we weren't going to do it alone. Being a disciple of Christ means relying on the Spirit within us. It means that we can't do it alone. God never intended for it to be that way. Being a disciple of Christ means believing and, most importantly, knowing that Jesus is, for each one of us, the bread of life, the bread of our lives, sustaining us and feeding us. And as we come to the communion table this morning, we live with the knowledge and truth that we will remain in him, but most wonderfully and truly, he will remain in us. Amen.